Good afternoon. This is Erin Fitzpatrick at the Heritage Radio Network and At the Root of It. Today's show, May 12, 2009, is sponsored by Edwards in Surrey, Virginia, specializing in smoked ham. For the Week in Wine recap, James Beard announced its 2009 winners last week. For Outstanding Wine Service, Le Bernardin won. Congratulations to Aldo Salm. And Wine and Spirits Pro, Mr. Dale DeGroff. In other news, Chateau Latour will not be hosting the biggest party of Vin Expo this year. Owner Francois Pinot has decided that he wanted to host a more modest party in the midst of the economic crisis, but it was turned down. Thus, the party will be held at Chateau Lafitte. Oregon wine pioneer Cal Knutson died on April 24th. A pioneer of Pinot Noir, planted 120 acres in the 70s and largely was responsible for bringing Argyle Winery to its popularity from 1990 to 2007. And for tastings this week, Wednesday, May 13th, 2009, from 7 p.m. to 12 a.m., the World Cocktail Week fundraiser will be held at Prana on 79 Madison Avenue. We'll be featuring some of the top industry's cocktail experts. And tickets are $40 and can be purchased at the Museum of the American Cocktail.org. As always, the tasting portion is brought to us by Nicholas Palazzi of the New York Spirit Society, which is a trade and public tool for all things about spirits and wine in New York. Nicholas is a guest on our show today, and we will be speaking about cognac, as he is a cognac expert. And just wanted to take a moment to introduce Nicholas Palazzi to today's show. How are you?
Good.
Good. Before we go into the background of cognac, I'd like to get a bit of a feel about your own background and what has led you into such an industry and your expertise on this subject.
Well, let me to make a long story short. So, as you can hear, I'm French. That's the heavy accent here. I grew up in a winemaking family, small appellation in Bordeaux called Côte de Bourg. That's basically located right in front of the Morgau appellation, the other side of the Gironde River. And so I basically spent a lot of time at this estate, and that's what turns me on to wine. Now, why cognacs? My grandfather in 1951 went for his military duty in Lyon, France, and there he met probably his best friend, who's now 79 years old. His name is Pierre. And Pierre is a ninth generation cognac maker. And he became, over the years, my cognac mentor. So he's the one who taught me all I knew, all I know. And he's the one who basically introduced me to every single people he knew there in cognac, who enabled me to taste a lot of different cognacs there, and he's the one who got me started, basically.
Great. So he influenced your learning of it then, and then you didn't necessarily go into it right away. It's only in the past couple of years you obviously appreciated it and were investing in your own collection, but it wasn't until just a couple of years ago that you started working with cognac professionally from a sales and importing side. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I basically, my family tried to push me away from the wine business because they were in it. Mm-hmm. So I started, I went for engineering school, worked 4 years in France, 2 years in the US, and a sense of passion was kind of missing.
Sure.
So I basically quit my job here as an engineer, and I started importing my family wines first. And then, as you very well mentioned, I was in pretty close contact with Pierre, and I ended up buying last year the most part of his family stocks, his family's old cognacs. And I also ended up buying the casks of old eau de vie that I got to taste with him. Those eau de vie, those cognacs that were kept in the family cellars from the small artisanal producer he enabled me to meet. And that's how I got started. Basically, that's I ended up having a cellar full of barrels of old cognacs, mm-hmm. and I became a cognac merchant all of a sudden.
Now, mission is to find a discerning palates across the United States who appreciate it as much as you do.
Well, there is actually a great following here.
Yeah.
People are really into spirits. People do appreciate whiskey a lot,
mm-hmm.
and among those whiskey drinkers, there's a lot of people are looking for French spirits, and Calvados, Armagnac, and Cognac, of course, are among those. And yeah, there's a good following here.
Well, we're looking forward to getting our Cognac 101 lesson from Nicolas today. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. This is Night Drive by The Chromatics. Welcome back to At the Root of It. This is Erin Fitzpatrick. I'm here today with Nicolas Palazzi. Nicolas has a cognac portfolio, some deep cognacs from back in the early 1900s, as well as some newer ones. And today is going to give a bit of explanation about cognac and its characteristics, its differences amongst Armagnac. All questions that the Heritage Radio Network listener is interested in hearing about. So let's start off with just a very brief introduction to cognac.
Sure. Let's say first cognac. Cognac is the name of a city. It's a city of like 20,000 inhabitants, located in France. Cognac is also a region. That's a region of about like 700,000 hectares. So that's probably something like 1,000,003 acres or so. And cognac is also a distilled spirit that really deserves to be better known.
Mm-hmm.
There is one question I've been asked a lot of times, is this question is France making the best cognac? So I would say definitely yes. The reason is that France is the only place making cognac. Cognac is what the French call an AOC, an appellation d'origine contrôlée. It means that it can only be made following specific criteria, mm-hmm. in a delimited area of France. So that's basically what cognac is.
So anyone producing cognac elsewhere, it's not essentially cognac.
No, it's gonna be a brandy.
Brandy, yeah.
But it cannot be called cognac. It's exactly like Armagnac, for example, or like Champagne. You know, the sparkling wine we all enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Those can only be made in France, in the Champagne area, or in the Armagnac area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, cognac, as I was mentioning, cognac is a region. There is actually six growths in cognac. They basically are organized in concentric circles. around the first growth that is that's called the Grand Champagne. Mm-hmm. Then you get the around it, you get the Petit Champagne. Mm-hmm. Then you get the Borderie, and you move on to the Bois. You get the Fin Bois, the Bon Bois, and the Bois d'Ordinaire. That's the six growths you can make cognac out of. Now, Grand Champagne, and Petit Champagne are supposed to be the best growths out of which you can make cognac. Grand Champagne being the very top one, mm-hmm. And that's because of the soil. In the word Grand Champagne and Petit Champagne, you hear champagne. And so that reminds us of this sparkling wine we talked about earlier. And it's actually champagne comes from Campania, Campania that's a geological term. I'm sorry, that's describing a soil made out of chalk. Mm-hmm. So in Grand Champagne, Petit Champagne, the soil is a chalky soil. And that's what makes very complex, age-worthy spirits.
And the difference between cognac and Armagnac, for instance.
Right. Well, so both are distilled spirits. Cognac is basically made out of three grapes mostly: mm-hmm. Colombard, Folle Blanche, Uni Blanc. Nowadays, 99% of the production of cognac is made out of Uni Blanc, which is also known as Trebbiano. That's this Italian white wine that we can see in some of our wine stores here. So that's the grapes you can make cognac out of. Armagnac is usually made out of Colombard, Uni Blanc also, and another grape called Bacco. Once you basically grow those grapes, harvest them, you press them, make wine, and you're going to distill the wine. That's where the major difference between cognac and Armagnac is. Cognac is basically twice distilled in Charente pot stills. Mm-hmm. And while Armagnac is just distilled once in a continuous still. So the difference is basically that an Armagnac, the freshly distilled spirit in Armagnac is going to be very clean. Not a lot of aromas there, not a lot of flavors. Pretty much like a vodka would be. Vodka being a distilled spirit that has been filtered on charcoal, mm-hmm. so it makes it sweeter. Armagnac is not, but Armagnac is what people call the very rectified spirit. So it's pretty clean. Now cognac is distilled, as I said, twice in those pot stills. So it's not stripped down of all those aromas as the Armagnac would be. So you're gonna end up with a richer, almost like heavier raw spirit, mm-hmm. Like freshly distilled cognac is gonna smell like there's like a yeasty characteristic to it, almost like a sake would smell like, and freshly distilled Armagnac tend to smell like a more vodka would, which right. means that it's mostly alcohol,
a little more neutral.
Yes, absolutely.
Which would then lead into, in making sense, that cognac is more age-worthy than Armagnac.
Well, yeah, that's both spirits can really be aged a long time. Now it really depends from which appellation the spirit come from. I mentioned six growths, right? Why Grand Champagne and Petit Champagne are the most acclaimed ones? It's because the spirit you make out of the grapes grown in those two areas can be aged a long, long time. And in fact, a lot of people say back there in Cognac that you probably need to wait like 15 years before actually being able to drink a Grand Champagne Cognac. That's the time the spirit needs to mellow down, smoothen up, and get and become more drinkable. Mm-hmm. Now there's a there's those four other growths. So I'm not going to talk about the Borderie, which is really really specific in itself. Very gives a cognac that are pretty nutty with floral notes. It's very distinctive. But when we go to the three bois, bon bois, fin bois, and bois d'ordinaire, you get lighter styles of cognacs, and those age way faster. Mm-hmm. So those are cognac that are gonna reach their peak after 5, maybe 10 years, and those are the ones that you're gonna find in the VS or VSOPs that are mostly purchased and drunk.
Yeah, used in cocktails. And
right, absolutely.
Yeah. As for Calvados, you had mentioned that the only other French spirit that's also distilled in a pot still comparative to cognac.
Yeah, there's basically, I mean, we can mention actually like three spirits made in France. I mean, there's more than that, but cognac, Armagnac, and Calvados are the three ones, are the three main ones. Now, we mentioned that that cognac is twice distilled in pot still, Armagnac is distilled once in a continuous still. Now, Calvados, there are three appellations in Calvados, and one of them, called Pays d'Auge, is actually the one that's distilled distilled cognac style in Charentais pot still. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for a good Calvados, actually, I was talking to a friend of mine called Roger Groux, and making pretty awesome stuff. And that's really distilled cognac style as well. So that you should check that out.
will do. And all three of them have very distinct characteristics from each other as well. Calvados mostly, comparative to Armagnac and cognac. So they have different place within the whole spirit exploration. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, basically, cognac and Armagnac are distilled wines, come from grape, right? Calvados is apple juice, distilled apple
right.
juice. But yeah. they are very characteristic. They express a sense of place, what the French call terroir. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. And mostly when you deal with like artisanal products, when it's like family made. When people are harvesting their own vines, distilling and making their own wine and distilling it, then you get a sense of place that you're probably not gonna get with one of those spirits produced by a big company. I don't have anything against big companies,
right?
Of course. Now, when we talk about cognac. People are drinking brands which are cognacs that are blended, mm-hmm. for a house style, mm-hmm. and there are much different things out there expressing a sense of terroir, as I said, that should be looked into.
Great. Well, we'll continue that part of the conversation when we get back. This is Maipé. Song's called Leader of the Pack.
I got my own swing. I got my own swing. Lead of the pack, I'm gonna do my own dance. Lead of the pack, I'm gonna do my own dance. Total stimulation, cause you're looking over here. Lead of the pack, I'm gonna do my own dance. Lead of the pack, I'm gon' do my own dance. Lead of the pack, I'm gon' do my own dance. Total stimulation, cause you're looking over here. Lead of the pack, I'm gon' do my own dance. How you like me now? This chick is so thoroughbred. Emphasize thighs on your Spanish best spread. Ain't no cake, my mama kept me well fed. Hooked on phonics, special K, special people, special let.
I do my own thing, just let your head nod. To the punks with mohawks and the Nazi dreadlocks. To the chubby chicks in your dorm, knock them out they socks. No, we don't discriminate and we don't cock block. Claim it out of the year, girls just wanna have fun. Power to the people, cause they stuck in Babylon. Run up in your area, you better give me some. And we don't stop till we go platinum. Like, lead of the pack, I'm gon' do my own dance. Lead of the pack, I'm gon' do my own dance. Total stimulation, cause you're looking over here. Lead of the pack, I'm gon' do my own dance. We won't possess your material. Ain't no competitors, they're inferior. They won't possess your material. Ain't no competitors, they're inferior. They won't possess your material. Ain't no competitors, they're inferior. They won't possess your material.
Welcome back to the Heritage Radio Network. Picking up from where we left off, we're talking about Cognac here with Nicholas Palazzi. We just finished up speaking about the differences between Cognac and Armagnac and Calvados, and also how the large house styles from bigger brands such as Hennessy, for instance, have really made their mark, particularly, I think, in hip-hop culture as well, leading in from that song. But are nothing wrong with them. They certainly have their place. But Nicholas represents his own portfolio of smaller cognac producers. And I wanted to speak a little bit about that between the differences of the house style, which are branded and which are more marketed, and those that are more artisanal and boutique and give, again, that sense of terroir that a smaller producer who produces less is only able to give. So you have your own portfolio of cognac, yeah?
Yeah, that's true. I mentioned that I basically own all stocks of cognacs, the cognacs I bought from my mentor. Thanks to this old gentleman Pierre, I got to meet a lot of small producers there in Cognac because he introduced me pretty much everywhere. And at 79 years old, you can really understand that he knows quite a lot of people. And I got to taste crazy stuff, and I actually purchased some. And that's one thing. And during this journey, I met small producers that I really liked, and I thought it would be interesting to make them available to the US and the US customers.
So your business portfolio is comprised of your own personal collection, mm-hmm. which you will make available to a select clientele or a select restaurant
right.
group, as well as a number of small producers who are doing what they do best.
Right, absolutely. And those small producers basically make a whole range of cognacs, mm-hmm. from younger cognacs, VSOPs mostly, very special old pale, to XO, which means extra old, and much older stuff. And those guys have they basically bring something to the table, because the way they take care of their vines, the way they distill, the way they age their product, the way they decide to bottle it, you get in the bottle what you were calling a sense of place. The big brands did really great for cognac, promoting mm-hmm. the name cognac all over the world. Now they have a house style, so they are blending tens, hundreds of different mm-hmm. cognacs coming from big distiller or small producers. To make available the exact same taste,
which is not too dissimilar from champagne styles. Big houses who are still doing a lot of blending and whose production is so great that they have maintained a certain following based on this house style.
That's exactly what it is. It's absolutely comparable to that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, we discovered a few years ago that grower Champagne were actually making very interesting things. And as those grower Champagne exist, mm-hmm. there is also, let's call them grower cognac.
Yeah.
And growing cognac makers. And so that's basically what we got here on the table. That's we got three different products. Mm-hmm. Two are coming from two different small producers I import, and the second one is coming from my personal stocks. The first one we're going to start with is a Grand Champagne Cognac, VSOP. VSOP meaning that it's supposed to be aged at least 4 years. So this is a 15-year-old VSOP.
Okay.
Coming from the village of Biard, close to Segonzac, in the heart of the Grand Champagne. The family there making it is called Guillaume Peintureau. So it's a small estate, 17 hectares. They take care of their vineyard themselves. Distill, bottle, age, you name it, they do it themselves. And that's a pretty fresh cognac. I mean, the nose here is mostly on the fruit side.
I was gonna say there's some apple and pear notes.
Absolutely, yeah. There's those orchard fruits,
mm-hmm.
that you have distinct notes of it on the nose. There's also a richness, a fatness to this cognac. That's because the way they distill it, they distill the cognacs on the lees. Meaning that they leave all the yeast
mm-hmm.
in the pot when distilling it, so it brings a lot of aromas there, a lot of flavors as well, and it makes this cognac pretty rich and fat. Now, if you actually sip it, it's quite light.
There's a little spice to it.
There is some spice on the background.
Mm-hmm.
You get those fruits as well on the palate.
Can we talk about for a minute how to taste cognac?
Sure.
We don't have the proper glassware, which, as you mentioned, was tulip glassware this afternoon. We're sipping out of mason jars.
You're right. Yeah, I should have mentioned that. My bad. How are you supposed to taste cognac? Usually, people taste it in snifters. Snifters are not really the best glassware to do so.
What do you taste out of in France?
Well, they usually use those tulip glasses.
The tulip glasses with a little lip that are generally also suggested for Riesling. Those tulip glasses,
right? Yeah, absolutely. Just because you don't want to have a lot of surface of contact. You don't want the cognac to have a big surface of contact with the air, just because you're gonna have a lot of alcohol evaporating,
mm-hmm.
and when you're gonna smell it, you're gonna burn your nose.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why smaller glassware are appropriate. Now, you don't want to swirl, just because for the same reason you're gonna have a lot.
Because that's the natural tendency, is to pick up a glass and swirl it.
Yeah. Well.
And I noticed this the same thing with wine. When you're tasting wine, before you taste it, and people swirl it automatically. But what I find is if you don't swirl it, you have a greater tendency to tell whether or not the wine is corked. Because as you swirl it, any sort of corky aromas will dissipate with the contact with the air.
Absolutely. So when you taste wine, you should definitely try to smell it without swirling it,
yeah.
and then swirl it.
Sure.
When you taste the spirits and cognac in particular, swirling is really not necessary, and actually you're just gonna bring a lot of alcohol to your nose. And the last thing is you wanna hold your glass underneath your chin and smell it from there. So you're gonna pick up the light aromas first. And then you're going to bring the glass up to your nose, and you're going to be able to pick up the heavier aromas.
So that first one was 15.
Yeah,
very nice.
The first one was 15, pretty smooth, mm-hmm. Easy drinking, no burn of alcohol, fruit forward. Now the second one from another small producer, a family called Paul Beau. In Segonzac, still Grand Champagne. That's 30 years old on average. And the nose is much different. There is some leather there.
Yeah, more earthy. Get more spice on this one, even some savory spices.
There's some spices, Asian spices. There's a hint of cinnamon as well that
I
pick up.
Yeah, got that too. Mm-hmm.
There's some leather, and there's a bit of this nuttiness that you're gonna find on the nose. That's what's
the
called
toasted nuttiness, or more of a raw.
It's more. Yeah, it could be. It's like roasted nut, roasted
more
hazelnut,
like caramelized almost. Some like toasted caramelized pecans.
There's something about it, and that's the beginning of the Rancio. That's basically that's the epitome of a good cognac when it's aged. It's gonna have this toasty hazelnutty thing on the nose and on the palate. And now on the palate it's kind of there's
rich,
it's pretty rich. There is a good acidity to it. Mm-hmm. It's pretty long lasting. When I tasted this back in Cognac 2 years ago, I was really interested in getting it on the market. The finish is actually
it's really
quite
nice. Yeah, very persistent. Has a nice kind of unctuous quality, but finishes quite dry.
And now, we're gonna move on to the last one.
Okay.
The last one is basically that's a barrel sample. That's the first distillation my cognac mentor made in the early 1950s. Grand Champagne.
This is quite special.
Yeah, that's pretty special. So it has not been filtered, not been fined or anything. Directly taken from the cask, and it's a cask strength. It's 46% alcohol, 92 proof. And you tell me what you think about it.
Well, I'm still on the nose because it's quite a bit of layers on it, kind of getting to the root of it, if you will.
There's
more of a buttery quality, a little more toasty, buttery quality.
What strikes me is the notes of fruit there for something that's like 60 years old. There's definitely some fruit, some dried cherries there.
I'm gonna say the fruits are a little more baked, like baked pear, baked apple, more concentrated fruit.
And you got this Rancio that was developing in the second cognac. Now you got it full blast.
It's really nice.
And the finish, you're just taking one sip and you wait, and the finish is pretty outrageous.
Indeed, and these are all available through your portfolio.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, excuse me. Thank you so much for your time here today. This has been a world of knowledge and great tasting.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll do it again soon. This is the Heritage Radio Network signing off. This song following this program is Destroy Everything You Touch by Ladytron. Good sponsor, Edwards, once again, thank you.